This is at Trustworthy Slav.
This is at Incognito, COH.
CRKBlack.com build.
This is the Fed Post.
Yeah, I guess we'll start with the church and state stuff, because I guess that's a broader expansion on what we've been talking about last episode. And I guess it's coming back. Where have you guys seen it time as far as...
I know I saw something about there was some Supreme Court decision that had to do with praying on the 50-yard line or something like that.
Really?
Some case where some, I think a football coach at some high school or something was like leading kids in prayer. And I think it was previously deemed unconstitutional. And then, or whatever the fuck, I don't know. And then now they've like overturned that case. And so now it's, that's what I've seen. Now, I may have a bad read on that, or I may not know the full details on it. But that's as much as I've seen on it.
Gotcha. What about you, Slav? Have you seen anything in particular about it?
Just as far as the separation of church and state shit goes?
Yeah, yeah. We're just like...
Dude, it's just the response that every normie fucking lib has to, like, it's the go-to response whenever something, like, socially conservative happens. And I don't know, it's really lazy. It's not particularly, like, historically literate. And it's kind of just thrown around really lazily. It kind of drives me nuts, dude. I fucking hate it. And obviously we're hearing it constantly regarding the Roe v. Wade stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
regards to the Roe v. Wade thing, I don't really feel like that one specifically. I feel like there's no basis really for that argument, because I don't think that the Roe v. Wade decision is a purely religious like thing. Like, people act like it's like, I saw something that was like, just because it says in your Bible that I can't have an abortion. Dude, it doesn't mention abortions in the fucking Bible, bro. That's not something that existed, you know, for them to put in there. And so I don't specifically view it as like an issue that is tied to any one religion or religiosity in general. I mean, now I do know that, like, obviously there are religious groups that are strong in the advocacy process for pro-life agendas. And that's where a lot of, like, formalized political support comes from, at least in our country. But that doesn't mean that it's, like, a religious argument, really.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go a little further there and just say that, like, the decision was made largely informed by the religious beliefs of the Supreme Court judges, right? Going in line with like Christian moral thought, and specifically just given like the argument around. Okay, when you get into the argument about what is a right, the natural progression is you go, where are rights derived from?
Mm-hmm.
And that like is kind of a really quick like speed run to religious
God-given rights, right? That's in the
exactly, yeah. And that's not it. Like, when you talk about like a God-given right, like this is like logos shit, right? Like this isn't even like, this isn't super crazy religious literalist shit. This is literally just like you need to come up with an answer to where the concept of a right comes from, right? And so, yeah, I mean, like, their religious beliefs were relevant here. Someone's actions being informed by like Christian moral thought or Islamic moral thought or something like that is completely different, has nothing to do with the separation of church and state, like, whatsoever. I mean, this is like turning the clock back several decades, and like people that were pissed about like Kennedy becoming president because they thought he would be like beholden to the Pope, right? It's kind of absurd. It has a lot, the separation of church and state really has like a lot more to do with like the Church of England and like having the state literally entangled in a material sense with the church and being and both being kind of beholden to the other. And that's just like literally, it has nothing to do with what people are talking about 90% of the time when they bring it up in it. And it really drives me insane, especially just because like, because it's so such an ignorance to just like how much Christian moral thought has informed a ton of secular culture around us. Mm-hmm. Like how much woke people are obsessed with the concept of justice is like directly correlated with the history of Christian moral thought, right? Yeah. I mean, they're all about justice. So you know, but no one ever says, you know, if a politician is talking about racial justice or environmental justice or any of these things, no one's ever talking about the separation of church and state there. So it really drives me nuts, and it's just something that people repeat over and over again without really knowing what it means.
Yeah, if you know this, but the apostles were actually classical liberals.
It drives me up the fucking wall, dude. It drives me up the fucking wall. Especially just considering how different our conditions are from the conditions that like gave rise to that being a thing in the first place. It's laughable.
I mean, I think this connects to a good topic that we haven't really gotten into, which is the argument that there is no such thing as secular government. That's an argument I've heard a lot from like right-leaning people. And it's an interesting argument. I don't think we've really dived into it. But you know, this church, like the religion influencing government thing is kind of coming around. I saw some article that was getting attention where it was like, there's a new, like religious right that's taking over, you know, and they were just like making a point of talking about them more so than the Whig Nats. You know what I mean? Cause that's the two wings, that sort of differ among the right, and the Whig Nats are sort of, you know, it's kind of what Keith Woods has mentioned. They've kind of lost, I think they've lost face with the Spencer shit, obviously, like him crying on camera and just the joke that it all turned out to be, and just the bad optics. Like a lot of the Whig Nat and them just being censored heavily, more heavily than the trads, in fairness to them. So I think that's a big chunk of why that's sort of like, you know, maybe not the dominant strain to be talked about now, but now,
you know, the religious right, I think that's sort of the one that's getting a lot of attention.
They're the ascendant power. Yeah, it's like Keith talked about, right? Where he's like there's a reason why like his element has been totally shut down, but then like the Christian right is being put front and center and not being deplatformed in the same way.
Right. Or he was saying, because we got censored, you guys didn't, you guys are safer or whatever, you know. Which is a tiff between them. I have nothing to do with their
yeah, I have nothing to say about that. Generally, I mean, the issue with statements like that, I will say, the issue with statements like that is that, like, without having someone, like, on the inside who's, like, actively doing the banning, it's an unfalsifiable or unprovable claim. And so, like, I don't know, you know, who knows? At the time, Keith wasn't banned either, and he was still putting stuff out. That has since changed. But I mean, I don't know. People with far less cutting political insights say that about other people all the fucking time.
Oh yeah, of course.
So you know,
victimization and all that. Yeah, I mean, but I will. He's kind of right, I guess, in the sense that, like, you know, the Whig Nats are more controversial. I think trad shit is like more acceptable. Maybe more popular. Definitely more popular. I think it's definitely more acceptable. In that, you know, not a lot of trad stuff is overtly offensive or malicious. I mean, there's ways that the ideas can form that way, obviously. But, you know, it's not as like, I think the Whig Nat shit is a lot more like life or death violence. You know what I mean? The trad stuff, there's kind of more, they emphasize like a moral goodness. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it's more like, again, like you're talking about, there's more of a history in America of that. So it's kind of like, oh, you're somebody that's against abortions. Like, that's not as crazy as like, I want a white ethno state. You know what I mean? It just doesn't hit is the same as far as like edginess or controversialness.
Well, and I think also, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Well, what I was going to say, you're right. You're right. I think it's not about what's more garish and edgy. it's not about that, but I think a big aspect of it is just that like every neighborhood in the United States has a fucking church in it. You know what I mean? Not every neighborhood in the United States has like a fucking Aryan Brotherhood community center. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
And so one is, regardless of the claims we're talking about previously of like one's a real threat and one's like a serious thing that the regime doesn't want and one's safe, regardless of that, which I can't speak to, one is definitely at least a little more politically viable in our culture.
Yeah.
More palatable for most people. Yeah, within bourgeois democracy, I don't know how open, like, I don't know many boomer home-owning middle-class voters there are that are, like, super up with, like, Nas Balkang, you know? So,
yeah, getting the old, like, neocon boomer to take the Nazi pill and, like, become a based ironic racist online, that's a bigger leap than going trad, for sure. There's more of a connection there.
Yeah, well, a lot of them are already there with the trad, or like already came up with what they're being posited as, like, quote unquote, traditional values and traditional ways of life. For boomers that came up in like the 1950s, that's what a lot of these people that are calling themselves trads are like really like aiming back to. The time that these people actually grew up in, a lot of these boomers. And so it's like, yeah, like you're saying, there's already that vital connection there that's a lot more instinctual for them. And also it's like not just like morally upsetting, like this wig Nat shit is. So
yeah, you know, our moral horizon is defined by Nazism. I've said it before and I'll continue to say it, like everyone's go-to bad thing, since we're not like a 100%, I mean, again, going back to like Christian moral thought, like people don't say hell and Satan. Like they use those terms have been switched out for like the Holocaust and Nazis and fascism. Mm-hmm. God is dead and he's been replaced by Brown Scare.
Yeah, World War II is like almost like an origin story for New Americanism.
Bro, I got one for you. You want to talk about a Great Reset? The real Great Reset was fucking World War II and the aftermath of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially like economically, everything really. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to harp on the Wignat thing. I'm just shouting them out, giving a big shout out to my brothers.
Hey, dude, quick shout out to all the real ones in the white nationalist community.
The Hoteps and the Wignats, they have a deep, long connection. So I'm acknowledging that, of course, I have to, but yeah, this, so yeah, I mean, obviously there's like more media attention now for this, and the Roe v. Wade thing kind of fits into that. But yeah, I think, you know, well, you're talking about the separation church thing as like, you know, and what's funny is that I do believe in that. So I kind of like, that's why this issue of the secular government thing, it's an interesting question because I hadn't really considered it. But there's two things to that. One is like, you know, if it's sort of this argument of like, all right, if there is no such thing as a secular government, there is no neutral space. One religion has to occupy. And this goes in line with the idea that there is no non-religious people. Everybody is religious in some form or another, right? The wokeness is religion, that, right?
Yeah.
Then that idea is basically like, all right, if there has to be one, I'd rather it be mine, right? So that's how the logical order works. So one part of that is that the logical end of that is that you'd have to push for a Christian government, a theocracy, which I would not be down for unless I was Christian, and I'm not. So that kind of ends that one. That ends that avenue.
I mean, I already have an issue with that point, but continue.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's that one. But the other thing I kind of wonder about is like, you know, you're talking about like, you know, connecting the modern wokeness, the wokery that is religious in nature, the science that's religious in nature, the lib science that's religious in nature, which we all agree on, you know, tracing that back to Christian origins. I just wonder, and this is the same thing where I wonder, like, all right, say we have a government run by a theocracy run by a religion, which one are we picking? Like, which sect are we picking? You know, because there's a lot, right? So I'm that's the big question, right? Because like, you're saying how it traces back to Christian morality, but justice, the concept of justice traces further back, right? I mean, traces to Jewish religion, traces back to like Hammurabi's code, like, you know what I mean? It goes
it keeps going. So it's not like it ends with Christianity. Which one are we picking? Like,
that's of course not. But I wonder. Yeah, no, totally, totally. No, it's a good. That's a good point. I mean, all right. The way In God We Trust is printed on our fucking money, dude. We have the answer to the question of where rights originate from. Which without like a non-human answer to that question, there is no actual real airtight answer to it. The question of where rights come from in the United States in like the legal system has pretty consistently just been God-given rights, right? Again, this is where it's less about like religious zealotry and more just about like religion as language and social technology. This has been a part of our country and informed our legal system and our political structures up until this point. And at no point have we ever been a theocracy. There have been times where we've been more religious than others, and there have been times when like factions have have gained more political agency and power than other times. But having certain bedrocks of your legal system and of your culture kind of lean up against the concept of God is not, it's a really far distance from a theocracy in my opinion. I mean, I think objectively. And so I don't necessarily think that it needs to be, there needs to be some kind of faith that is acknowledged and like that void of like a need for faith. Maybe not in every single person. I believe every single person has a need for faith, but at least in most people, I don't think that the logical endpoint of that is theocracy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and you're right as far as like the history of like America being religious influenced, but calling it a theocracy wouldn't really be accurate. Like sodomy was a law, right? Like sodomy was against the law, and that's obviously religiously influenced. But to say America's a theocracy, you know, a couple centuries, it doesn't really make sense. But I think the question is like, I guess I said a lot of things at once, but like the point, the argument that they make is like there is no neutral space.
Yeah.
So no. Do you accept that argument? I don't accept that argument.
I do. I do because what I said of just. And I'm not the best person to really articulate this, so I hope that I don't just put my foot in my mouth. But again, the whole point of rights and where they are derived from, right? I was talking to my buddy a couple of years ago, and he was talking about how, you know, there's no such thing as rights, right? Like I was thinking about it, and like, of course, there's no such thing as rights. Like right. Rights are just a thing that you're, you know, temporarily like permitted by the state or something, right?
Yep.
The concept of a right outside of the framework of God doesn't really make any sense. Like God is a moral system that you can plug in to like social modes of organizing. That's where rights come from. Otherwise, it is just like Nietzschean, just like there's will to power, and there's those who have greater material resources than others, and they're just exerting their will.
That's what I believe. Yeah, I believe I rock with my boy Nietzsche. That makes sense to me. Honestly,
yeah. What I'm saying is that, you know, whether or not that's valid is not like the whether or not that's valid is a flawed premise, right? Like there's validity to that. Whether or not there's a social usefulness in basing your society around that is another matter. I don't really think that having your social order be structured against the will to power like a fucking spaghetti Western with people just stoically going around shooting each other is good.
No,
it's, I don't think it's good either.
And again, like I said, well, just to cap it really fast.
Sorry.
Like I said, it's like, it's fucking, I'm too retarded to be the kind of person who's going to do this concept justice. But like in this context, God is, again, it's like the logos, like God is a moral framework that can be acknowledged by someone that's an atheist or agnostic. And like, it's kind of like God outside of religion at all, right? Mm-hmm. It's a concept that's metaphysically like indispensable, and it informs things that have a really immediate impact on the world. You can't base a fucking legal system off of fucking Bronze Age mindset. You know what I mean? Like, you can't have a legal system that's just like Nietzschean, like the fucking strong over the weak. You know, you can't really do that.
I think that lays it out very, very clearly. And I agree with the way you're laying it out. I feel like the reality is that we are in that power of the will thing. And maybe this is why I'm sort of a moral relativist, definitely more than you guys, right? Is like, I don't like, if you make a good point, right? Like, a lot of laws, like in the origin, they say, you know, it's a God given right, right? And it's like, as far as I'm concerned, because I don't believe in God, it's not a God given right. The state is allowing that. That's the tangible reality around me, is that the state is deciding that this is a right for me. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow they might change their mind. So like, you know, as far as the idea of like, it's so crazy and hectic that it would just be like up in the air and it's up to whoever is in power and can just change it on a whim. That is crazy and that is fucked. But that's kind of how it's always been in my mind. You know what I mean? It's not really a matter of like, is it ideal or whatever. In my mind, it's like, that's just how it works, because I don't believe that there was like, I don't believe like God came down and was like, yo, everybody, like this is it, these are the rules, this is how, I mean, I guess he kind of did with the tablet or whatever, but like what I'm saying is that as far as like government or whatever, it wasn't like it came down and was like, all right, this is it and we're good, you got that, we're good. And you know what I mean, it wasn't very like cut and dry. It was like, you know what I mean, a lot of messengers in between translating the messages or whatever, things get lost in translation or whatever. Like, I think this is why I'm a moral relativist, because like I was making this example of like, say you're in the Aztecs and people are fucking sacrificing children, right? You and I and you know, all of us, everybody listening thinks that's pretty fucked up, right? Obviously. But if you're there.
Oh, no, that's actually pretty based in trad.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's an argument
the text,
for that.
If you look at the texts.
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument for that. If you're there, they would all be telling you this is good.
Yeah, and if you take enough ayahuasca, it's good, bro. Trust me.
No, but they're all saying that this is good because it's going to give some harvest. It's going to, give some rain, whatever. You know, they've got their own rationale for why it's good.
Yeah, of course.
So if you're there and you're the only one saying it's bad or whatever, you're wrong. Apparently it's good, because the majority decides that. And if you say it's not, if you say it's not good, they'll just fucking kill you. So, I mean, it is sort of like, the way I view it is like, it was always a will to power. It was always fluid. It's always changing based on who's in charge. It's just like the laws now, like you're saying, like the laws can change at any point based on who's in power. Is that really based on like a true, like, if, like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, so this is, well, but, and so this is where we get into, this is funny because now we're kind of like skinning from the head down, kind of in reverse of like kind of the case for monarchism. And while I'm not like a monarchist, I'm going to try to be quick, because I know you were kind of like partially, I cut you off.
No, I'm done. No, yeah.
Okay. The point I was just going to make is, you know, then we come into like the divine right of kings, right?
And right, exactly.
And saying,
exactly.
And saying that like the authority given to the king is in the word of God, right? And so like in that way, that is binding on the king and what is giving him his legitimacy in his rule, right? When we think about, and so then obviously, like, you know, if we're looking at, you know, liberal democracy and the absolute fucking sham of the consent of the governed, and that's right, the mandate that they're operating on, having like a direct connection between the king's authority and the actual like moral code that informs everyone's behavior actually like kind of does. It's not a super hard sell to say that that's like a more sound like basis than the mandate of the people. in like a liberal democracy. But you know, that's where it, you know, comes from. Now, obviously, the king can, you know, fucking just kill his subjects because he feels like it, because he has the power to do so, right? But, I've actually been reading fucking some like Julius Evola recently, and it's a departure. It's a little different from what I'm used to, but he does talk a little bit about, you know, in this system, this like traditionalist system, right? Like, you would also have rulers that would literally just be like, all right, like I'm the king right now. And then a year or two go by and there's just like some bad crops and some bad things happen. And like their subjects just fucking kill them because clearly the gods have abandoned them because good things stopped happening. Right. And like that, I guess what I'm saying is that
like, that's something that was possible when like everyone's technology is like spears and swords. You know what I mean? I feel like that's something that is not a practical overlay to modern life. And like as far as that being a decent check and balance system.
Yeah, I mean, at the very it's certainly less acute these days as like a way of disciplining elected officials and keeping them in line, but it at least gives you an extra little added an extra little parachute to add onto it. Or I personally like if your church has a formal structure to it with material resources, like we're talking, we can fuse these things, right? And you can have a formalized church that can actually hold them to account, right? I mean, you see Nancy Pelosi getting denied communion, shit like that, right? Like the material power can overlap with the ideal, like the idealist stricture. I'm not saying it's the be all end all. I'm not a fucking theocrat or monarchist, right? But I mean, like it can at least give you an extra little thing to use to try to keep your elites in line. I think personally.
I think, yeah, I've heard this argument before, because I didn't know monarchy. I didn't know this was like an actual argument that was going on in the political realm. I know Molbuck was like part of pushing that initially. And I didn't know what it was about. Like, I was like, that's just kind of like eye catching, like monarchy, what? Like, but yeah, I mean, as far as like in a philosophical sense, like the divine right of kings, you know, if he just says, yeah, God told me to kill everybody or kill all these people because he went mad, which is something that has happened, you know, a bunch of inbred people in the lineage, all of a sudden one of them's fucking nuts.
Oh yeah,
and he's just like, oh yeah, God, you know, I have divine right of king, you know, God said I should do this, and just does some wild shit. That is as legitimate a communication from God as any other, in my opinion, because you have my frame of reference being an atheist, right? It's like he says it's divine right of kings. The other guy says the other king that was kind of like closer to the religious text also says it's divine right of kings, and they both exercise the same amount of power. So at the end of the day, the reality that's affecting everybody comes out to the same. So that's the philosophical end of it, which, you know, we don't need to stick on or whatever. But like, you know, I just feel like as far as the aspect of like, all right, well, then that opens the avenue for accountability and that you can take him down if he's acting out or whatever. But like, we've already done centuries of this. This is why the whole thing ended, because we had a bunch of kings that were tripping out, bugging out, doing stupid shit. And then eventually people fucking took him down. And I think C.O.H.'s point is right, that it was much easier to, it was much more level playing field back then compared to now. And honestly, the argument kind of reminds me of like when the commies would sit, that one crazy commie argument I saw where it was like, actually a monopolized private sector is good because then it's easier to nationalize, to take over from the government side. And it's like, what do you, I don't understand. Like, so them consolidating power makes them easier to rein in. I don't understand that argument. And like, that didn't make sense to me when they're talking about like Amazon or these conglomerates. Like, I don't understand that. And then the same thing with the monarchy. It's like, all right, so he consolidates more power. The elites consolidate more power into a single focal point. And now that's more easy to rein in by the people. Like, maybe back then, and even then it wasn't easy. Like, so many uprisings just put down and people just dead.
Yeah.
And just failed uprising. So it's like, I don't, that argument just doesn't, like, I don't understand it really. And
yeah,
I'm not trying to be argumentative, I just don't understand it. Like,
they can use like the religion or whatever to justify whatever they want to do. Right. Which some would say that that's like, the argument would be that that's what happens now currently in our system. If wokeness is the religion, or if the argument is that the civil rights constitution or whatever is the, you know, the foundational text. And from there, you know, that's kind of being used as justification for whatever type of actions that, you know, political forces here take. I mean, what the issue is that when you have the church so intertwined with the ruling class or the ruler, like CRK saying, yeah, he could just be like, well, this is the will of God. And if you've got people that are, you know, in bed with each other, essentially relying on each other for power, who's to keep, you know, that in check, and so that the church isn't saying, oh, yeah, it is the will of God, actually, because the person who is the high chancellor of the church or whatever was installed by the king.
Yeah.
So that's really like what the issue there. And I know that you're not like saying that's what we should do or whatever. I just fundamentally don't like hearing about monarchy or any type of thing like that, because I think it's strictly and fundamentally un-American. Like, I think it's fundamentally against the like basic values that I was like raised in and from, and everyone around me subscribes to. And as an American, I don't agree with that shit whatsoever. I think that it's good to have a good, solid moral foundation with which to influence and guide your you know, yes, your governing structure. Like, I think that having like what Slava was saying, how most of our political thought and stuff like that in America was, you know, influenced by a Christian thought. But it's not like, it's not, we wouldn't look at this and say it's theocracy, and we didn't have a monarchy in place with a, you know, a church intertwined in this like more formalized power structure with the church as a justification measure. It was more so, yeah, like the morality inspired from the church, or more so endowed upon us through God's will, is like then organically involved in the process of making the laws. And it's not like this like formalized structure that's tied in there. I think ideally something like that is what is more ideal, right? But here's the issue, right? We don't have that now. Like, we've crumbled apart. So like the issue is then, like, you know, how do you get people to have a strong moral character again, or, you know, that foundation of which to guide their actions, that so that it would influence political thought, it would influence governance, etc., without being so tied in formally as a justification process.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, like, it's like, I don't need to, we're like losing the plot a little bit if we're talking about like whether or not theocracy is like defendable. The only thing that doesn't need to be proven. The only thing that needs to be proven is that like we have alienated a coherent and field tested like system of moral thoughts from our society in large part. And because of that, in public discourse, people don't have a way of even articulating the idea that chemically castrating children in public schools is morally wrong. People don't have the words for that anymore. That's like, it's kind of scrubbed from the public lexicon in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that that kind of proves the point in itself.
Proves what point?
Just the usefulness and the indispensability of God as a cornerstone in building a coherent shared moral tradition.
Oh yeah. I would say that's probably accurate for sure.
And again, just to like, it's just like, you know, you said it, I said it, but just to say it like one last time, like, this isn't me saying that like, if you're a member of a Western civilization, you are a Christian. It's me saying that like, if you are, you're at least on some level, like running Christian software in your thoughts, I mean, and how
dude,
you communicate.
Absolutely. And if you like, just looking at like philosophically speaking, if you just trace the lineage of thought, like most of the people who authored, you know, foundational texts of, you know, classical liberalism and ideas, like you're saying, that spring about bourgeois riots are people who were Protestants or Catholics, and that's kind of what spurred a lot of their thinking into ethics. And so, yeah, that's what it was birthed out of. And so, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right that it's a foundational and guiding principle within like American and Western thought. But that being said, I think that the American idea, right, and the American project is how to, at least from the get, was how to create a society that is guided in that way, but is disentangled from the formalized structure. And I guess then the question is the entire American ideal or American idea in general in that sense, is that completely out the window?
Yeah, and I guess, and also discussion of like, okay, I would definitely agree, like Christian thought has massive influence on our culture. I think to argue against that is kind of crazy, right? Like, I think that's pretty clear. What becomes an issue with this is just like, in my mind, is like, do I need Christianity? But what often happens, and this is arguments I remember happening in the 2000s when I used to argue with like, religious right people a lot more, was just this idea of like, do I need Christianity to know not to kill someone or to think that someone killing someone is wrong? Because sometimes I hear that argument of like, oh, you're atheist and why not just kill and rape everybody? Why not just do that? I'm like, I don't want to do. I think that's fucked up. Like I don't really need a God to do. And this is the thing, yeah. Right? And this might kind of overlap with what you guys think about it. Maybe is like the ideas and the foundations of like the Ten Commandments and like the moral principles of Christianity. And again, it depends which sect we're talking about, right? But like whichever one, right? There is overlap with all the other religions with a lot of stuff, right? Yes. It's like, don't kill people is kind of like it goes across the board. Like I don't really know of a religion where it's like, you know, kill people is cool or stealing is cool. So it's like, in my mind, it's like that is keying into the fact that there's some universal human morality that has nothing to do with religion.
Well that's where that's where religion comes from, is investigating what that morality is a product of. Exactly. And so the Christian answer is that morality comes from God, right. and that you don't need the Christian frame of reference to have those beliefs, because like, okay, so if you're someone like you're saying, you know, you have a morality that's built in, right? But you also are someone who thinks that everyone operates on strict incentives, material incentives, right? So then what's the explanation for a morally upright act that would go against one's personal incentive towards material gain, right? When, where does that basis come from? Where do these moral thoughts and such come from? And I think that I think it's a misconception to say that the argument from religious people is that you must have a religion to have that morality intact. I think that the religion is investigating that morality. Once you realize you have that, where does that come from and why? What is this spark within me? What is this thing that moves me when I see beauty and such? Like, what are these things that are the intangible, that are these instinctual, basic, you know, human, you know, moral codes that are coming up? This is, seems like it's a shared lineage of thought. Where is this coming from? And then I think that's where the religion comes into place. I don't think that it's like necessarily the other way around.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, I think also like I'm just realizing, I feel so embarrassed. It's like taken us this long in the conversation for me to just realize like natural law is a thing. We could just do an entire bonus content episode just talking about natural law and fucking John Locke and Thomas Aquinas. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it's I mean, that kind of came from this tradition we're talking about. I don't know. I mean, this is, I think kind of one of the issues at the heart of this generally is just, some of the stuff that we talked about, in just our fucking schizo post episodes recently, just me and COH, is just like rationalism, kind of, cheapening like the metaphysical, right? And it's not something that we really value in our culture. And that comes at the detriment of a lot of things. And that's where you get scientism. And it seems here like it's where we get, I don't know. I mean, we barely even have like a language to talk about ethics in like a real, in a real way. And again, like natural law is completely sound, right? And that's just like, I mean, I don't know a ton about natural law, but I mean, it's not religious dogma at all, right? It's an intellectual project. I don't know. We just, I think that's why a lot of people honestly are like interested in our legal system, is just that like ethics is something that I think these days, a lot of the time, I mean, moral relativism, yeah, plays a really big part in just kind of cheapening it. But also just, I think the like kind of Neil deGrasse Tyson brain view of the world of just like, oh, well, everything's actually, all these problems that seem eternal have actually been solved already. And so why are we talking about it, right? It's a clump of cells, bro. Anyway, that was kind of a lot. I just rambled all at once.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing I was thinking too of what the CEO was saying is like the, you know, like the investigating what's our, you know, innate moral compass is kind of aligned everywhere. Why does that conflict with immediate material interest? I think because altruism, again, this is thinking from a very like evolutionary standpoint, but altruism has survival benefits for the pack, right? For the group. And obviously altruism comes into conflict with immediate self-interest. So I think that's where that, you know, that dynamic and that contention plays out. And that's what manifests as us having moral quandaries. But I think you guys are right in terms of like, you know, if it is all up in the air, like I believe, you know, you shouldn't kill someone because I wouldn't want to be killed. Right. And I believe you shouldn't cut off some kid's dick because, you know, you've been like, because they're alienated and you've been spouting a bunch of crazy shit into their head, to confuse them about everything. Right. I think that's pretty wrong because I wouldn't want that to happen to me. But these people, apparently, they think that that's actually me feeling that way is actually bad. And that's good. That's the moral center. So and at the end, it's fucked up. But I mean, at the end of the day, if they have the power, then they get to decide what's good. That's really the way I think about it. It's not really a matter of what I feel. It's a bunch of things that I've disagreed with throughout history. Again, with that Aztec example. But like the winners decide history. Right. So it's kind of like, I don't know. That's the way I view that. But yeah, I mean, I think the original question of like, is there neutrality? Like if you agree that there's no such thing as neutrality in government, there's no secular government and it has to be one. Then the only logical conclusion after that is it has to be mine. Right. I mean, I'm asking honestly, like, am I making a leap there, or is that the logical next step that it has to be mine after that? Right.
I think that's a leap. I mean, okay, because
which moral compass, right? Like
I acknowledge that there's no such thing as a secular state. I don't really use that phrase all that much because I think the real issue there is just how you're basically defining like a religious belief system.
Yeah.
And it's in at this point in a statement like there's no such thing as a secular state, I think the concept has been flattened out to a pretty thin version of itself.
I don't like it because I feel like that cheapens religion a lot. Just saying that like, well, every state has a foundational set of like, it has a foundational story, an origin kind of story or mythos, and a meta narrative and a collective shared and cultivated ideology. I don't necessarily think that that's what religion, is entirely. I think
it's an aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's also like a ritualized and sided like, in proximity thing, like where it creates a sense of shared community, through doing ritual acts and stuff like that. And I know that there are people say like, oh, well, you know, saying your pronouns is the ritual or whatever, but these are not rituals. These are just communications. These are like, there's no symbolic air to them at all. It's like just communicating the information that they want you to know. There's not anything in the symbol itself, which is what I think like is where a lot of religion, or a lot of the power and like the good organizing structure for a community that religion can provide, I think that comes from a lot of that. That's not present within the state. Like that's why I think that I don't see how you could say, well, like every state is religious, and this state is a religion, but still, like, we just need this other religion instead. I don't see that as being a good, like, frame of analysis, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I think it's really simplified so that it can be like a pithy, like, one-liner.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a way of just, yeah, every culture needs like ethos. And I agree with that. I agree with that. And I think that our, like, overly naturalist and rational, like, view and value system make it so that people deny that a lot of the time. And yeah, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's like a little provocative. I don't necessarily disagree with somebody if they reduce it down to the terms of, like, there's no such thing as a secular state. Like, I get what they're saying, and I get the where they're kind of, like, it's evocative language, right? But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's perfect wording. But yeah, I would say, to be fair, well, I mean, pronouns, I feel like, does have, like, very big, I mean, I just think, like, progressive stack, right? Like, it's a fucking caste system.
Right. Yeah, so. No, it's legalistic, absolutely. Like, and it's formal, and it's structured. Me, though, that's not, like, that's not what the basis of a religion is.
No, of course not, right? Of course not. But yeah, I mean, it is, like, hierarchical. And like that kind of role based, like a formal. It's mm-hmm. funny just because that example just has me thinking because it's such a formal example, right? Like, it makes me think of it's like he him to like someone as an archbishop or something like that, you know? Like it's not the spirit of a religion, but it's like the structure of it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just funny to me.
I think that that's like, I think that that in itself is not like, I think that's where the problem I have with like calling it a religion is that I think the structure is present within religions, within, you know, a lot of the main religions. Yeah. I think there is that structure, but mm-hmm. I don't think that that structure is religion itself. I think that that's just like, that's, I think that is a way to understand how power organizes itself, and it can be happening within or without religion. And I don't think that it tying them two together is really a coherent way of understanding either of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think defining religion insofar as it's something that like has a genuine value in like filling my spiritual needs as a living being, mm-hmm. Wokeness isn't a religion, not in that, by that standard. But like adequately, right? And filling those needs adequately. But it does attend that is the part of people's brains that I'm convinced it slips into. And I think that everyone does have spiritual needs. I think it's like a diet or like exercise or like a fucking your basic fucking needs, right? I think that people have basic fucking spiritual needs. And I think that a lot of the time, even people that can see, even you, CRK, there has to be, because even you, right? Like, there is some place in your life where you are like getting your spiritual needs met in some way. I'm like, I would be convinced, right? Now for you, that isn't like a fucking formal organized religion, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you get it from something, right? And like, even through history, it didn't need to be. It could be fucking ancestor worship and shit like that, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's obviously what people are getting out of wokeness in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And, you know, I think that's when that the phrase of like wokeness is religion that the right always says, like, that makes complete sense to me. But what's funny is the takeaways, the differing takeaways is, to me, it's obviously a negative statement. And to me, the negative part of it is the religion part. I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, to me, like, I don't like religion. I don't like formalized religion. I'm not religious. So like, I think it's a bad thing. I think it's like one of the oldest psyops in history. Right. So like, to me, it's like, that's the thing. It's like, wokeness is religion. Yeah, that's why it's bad. So why would I want the old religion? That, to me, that's like the it's the new religion. Why would I want the old one?
right? The bad part of it is the religious part. But I understand that they're saying that you cannot escape the religious part. You're just going to have to pick which one.
Well, I'll say, I think the value in pointing out that it's religion is less that it's like the religious part is bad. It's just that it's like, okay, so it's this belief system that is a religion, right? But it's purporting itself as like a science, right? Like it's an intellectual, rational, system of thought from the fucking academy, right? And and you go, okay, well, you know, we should judge it by those merits, right? But like coming in and pointing out like, well, like, but that's not actually what it is. So therefore it shouldn't be judged by those merits. What it actually is like a product put in place to like serve spiritual needs of people. So it should be judged by those merits. And then you can look at it and you can be like, oh, it's like absolutely horrible at meeting every single one of these criterias, because like all of these woke people I know are like fucking depressed or like physically ill or just like actively making the lives of people around them worse. and I feel like that's like, I think that's a good way of looking at it, to where like, if you are, because I get what you're saying and it's a good point. I think that you can call it a religion without that meaning a bad thing for religion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, but I think that was what was so fascinating to me, because I always saw that point and I'd be like, I agree. But I realized that we weren't talking about the same thing. Like whenever I saw people talking about that, I was like, oh, we're not saying the same thing. Like, but it's, you know, it kind of relates to that idea of like, there is no such thing as a non-religious person, which is, I've seen this argument before. I know Salah feels that way. And like, you know, there's no point in making it personal about me, you know, in saying this, but like, I don't really know what I'm spiritual about. Honestly, I'm not even trying to be funny or whatever, or facetious. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of anything that would fit that criteria, because maybe I have a very specific definition of what spirituality is, but even forgetting about me, like, I think the point being is like, you know, I think that mentality of like, oh, there is no such thing as a non-religious person because I'm religious, is sort of like the everything's a nail, I'm a hammer type of thing.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And, you know, that's kind of what it feels like with this argument, that there is no such thing as a secular government, like this wokeness is the new religion. We need to return to the old one. It kind of has this feeling of like, but this is the thing I'm thinking, right? It's like, and I want to go back to like why it's not elite, because, you know, if there's no such thing as a neutral one and it has to be one dominant, right? The which one is it? That's the question that comes to my mind, is which one is it? And is it Catholicism? Is it Protestantism? Is it Judaism, Buddhism? Which one are we picking? You know, and this,
well, obviously Catholicism.
Right. But that's the thing. It's like, I don't, but you know, it's funny though, because like it relates to a lot of collective stuff relates to individual stuff. And like when I talk to religious people and they'd say, no, you have to be religious to me or wherever. And I'd be like, okay, but which one though? Because I'll hear from like a Muslim person that I should be Muslim. I hear from a Jewish person. Everybody proselytizes their own gang. You know what I mean? So like, which one am I supposed to pick, being that they're all equal to me?
I mean, I would say like it, like what somebody should do is they should like go into the communities of the people that actually make up a nation and just see how they're already fucking living. Right.
Gotcha.
And you know, it's kind of one of these things of just like, I mean, as of a couple decades, I mean, it's certainly not the case now, but like as of a couple decades ago, wasn't like most, like the US like almost 90% Christian or something. So like, I mean, at that point, like the decision's pretty easy to make. And I think like, I don't know, I think you can probably make it work for the other people. I mean, I don't know that people are going to want to like have fucking people.
Please don't put me in the camps. When you guys take power, please don't put me in the camps.
Listen, we're already, that never happened here. Right. But yeah, I mean, like, I think like I look at Afghanistan, right. And it's right. Do I want to live under Sharia law? No. Did they kind of slip into like, do I kind of feel like that's like, you know, like good for you after having like pivoting to that from like under the boot of like Western colonialism?
Yeah, like it's at least of their fucking region and culture.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and it's not like they're going to be fucking, you know, Buddhist over the... Well, I mean, they could be.
That's like a good point. That's a good point. I think... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Siege.
I was just going to say, I think that that's like... This is kind of a faulty premise of like, well, which one do we choose? Because that kind of posits that it's like... us making a choice or something, and it's more so just like the religion of the society is just like what the guides the people that have the power, like what's the ideology that people that have the power, like what is guiding them, and then what do they want to create as like the ethical code and the meta narrative for that. So I don't really think it's like, I think it's just like, right, it's like whoever has the power is just going to in create the religion is going to come about. I don't think it's like a, you know, we're going to sit down and chart out what's the religion, you know,
shop or around. Like, yeah. No, I mean, I think I was making a comparison to the individual thing, but I shouldn't do that because it's not important. The collective government thing, I think that point makes perfect sense. Like if you go in somewhere and say it's 99% Christian, the laws being influenced by the Bible makes like 1,000% sense to me. Of course. Like what the fuck do you expect? I mean, that's right. I mean, it's only logical that it would. I think the tricky thing here is that we're in a nation that's already inherently mixed up. And when you get down to the sect level, it gets even more murky. And it sort of reminds me of like I'm not making a direct comparison to this, but it's kind of like the Wingnut thing of like, you know, we need racial coherence to have a functioning nation. And it's like, okay, I can accept this as like an idea and then go from there. But you know, how say I do accept that, how are we going to do that here when everybody's already fucking mixed the fuck up? You know, even if you don't take my thing that like race is arbitrary and everybody's already diluted, if you really dig into it, forget about that. Just we're on, even on a high level, even on like a cartoonish, like five senses box, boxes for race on that level, we're already really fucking mixed up. So how are you practically? Say I was a Wignet. Say I got converted by my brothers like overnight and I'm down. I don't even know how I would practically do it. And that's the thing with the you know, having one religion be sort of the dominant thing is like, that's not the case anymore here. And, you know, mm-hmm. for good or for bad, mm-hmm. I'm just saying the reality. The reality is that, and that's where it sort of comes to the question of like, not people going, like, we're going to sit down and shop around as a country, but like how, like, say you went with the majority one or whatever, right? I just don't get how we're going to like, you know what I mean? Like it's too mixed up where there's going to be a big, I think the only way it would really function is to segregate off, either convert everybody to one. That's one way. Or two, you have to segregate off and make sure that, you know, like Israel, like it's a country that is just one religion. That in that sense, I can envision it. You know what I mean? But I'm trying to imagine that here.
I don't think it's possible. I think right now we're at a point in time where like social fabric is falling apart, economic conditions are going so bad, things feel like they're careening off a cliff, and so everyone's just kind of like right now grasping around
for
new ideas and concepts and stuff like that. And so people are clinging to, or not even new, but just concepts, things that would be a change, right? Things that, and so in that fact though, people are clinging on to things that are like fatalistic, like, oh well, we have to, you know, countries that are run best are racially homogenous or are religiously homogenous. Okay, well, we're not that, and we're not gonna be that. Like right now, let's not just like sit around and look at these like fatalistic things that are like, oh well, you know, we gotta make sure that these are things that are never gonna happen. It's like people are essentially like choosing, you know, politics and stuff, or like, you know, foundational beliefs about creating a better society that are not possible as a like an end goal here, really. And so it's like these things are just something that people are kind of just putting themselves, they're making themselves inept by just like believing and clinging on to these kind of things in order to not actually have to work out a workable politics right now with what we actually have that's going to address material conditions, that's going to address you know, trying to bridge the gap from the current to the ideal. It's like, oh yeah, well, yeah, man, sure, if we were South Korea, it might be a little bit easier, I guess, to like really try to figure shit out if we were able to, you know, get all the power structures that are holding us down. If we were able to kind of get that out of the way, they may be on better footing just because they are racially homogenous. They probably have more of a shared like religious beliefs. And those things are obviously easy as far as trying to mesh people when you share the same beliefs and stuff like that. But I think that right now it's like, how do we craft and how do we get people... How do we figure out what people are on the same page about?
Right,
that kind of thing, right? Instead of like trying to just force everyone onto someone else's page or onto my page that I have. Because like that's not how it works. And compelled action is not actually the root of like doing any good in the first place. So like if you are someone who is like morally upright and in your heart a religious person, then I would believe that you probably don't. Like, if you want to just make everything strict to be and exactly, you know, laws have to go by this influence because that's what it says in the scriptures and this is what this thing is. Well, that's compelling people to action and not actually generating the real change in people's hearts to actually pursue God's will. I don't think that that's like, I think that's a faulty premise as well. So I think all together, like right now, the project in America is not like, well, how do we get to a Wignat state? How do we get to a theocracy? I think those things are just non sequiturs. I don't think that those are anything. And I think that they're cool. They're fun little thought experiments, I guess. But at the end of the day, it's like,
I have them all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's just like that's.
All right, that was part one of our episode. If you'd like to listen to part two, you can find that at patreon.com/fedpost. Thanks for listening.